people in northern Wisconsin are still experiencing a variety of effects from July's violent windstorm.
The massive amount of downed trees has been impacting the timber industry and increasing potential for wildfires.
Not to mention debris that's being cleared and could become more hazardous with winter weather.
Journalist Larry Parnas has been covering this story as part of a fellowship at Marquette University. His piece on the topic appeared in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
He's normally with Berkshire Eagle in Massachusetts. Larry, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, thanks very much. Great to be with you.
Put this into context for us. Remind us of the size and scope of this storm and the damage it caused.
Well, it came across the northern part of the state, and it's remarkable to me how urban centers just have remained unaware of what transpired up there. The core of the storm came through about 60 miles of area, about 10 miles wide. In all, it was roughly a 360 square mile area affected by the storm, and the worst damage in the national forest itself was an area bigger than the city of Milwaukee, nearly 100 square miles.
And it sounds like it was hit or miss. I mean, certainly most of the area was damaged in some way, but we're talking really close distance between an area that is just leveled and things that an area that seems kind of untouched.
Yeah, the storm was kind of like that. It was a two storm systems came together, a rogue supercell and a line of thunderstorms. And they just joined and powered up. These are systems that reach up many thousands of feet. And it created conditions that sent these massive downdrafts called macro bursts. They hit the ground. They move in the direction of the storm, which is proceeding to the southeast. And they just kind of plowed away randomly at areas in that part of the state, which are largely forested. There's some farm country up there, too. So it was really haphazard where it hit. But the devastation when it hit was could be 100% in certain areas. The National Forest Service, which oversees the big Schwamigan-Nicolet National Forest, they count about 10,000 acres that were 100% damage.
And I think of all the trees, being blown over, straight line winds are being taken out. But you describe them as like a playing cards fanned out, the way some of the trees just dropped in different directions. What does that do for, cleanup strategies and trying to figure out how to kind of put the forest back together?
Oh, there's really no putting it back together. It's just, even some pretty hardworking Forest Service people who refer to themselves as can-do type people, look at this as a 10-year effort, and even at their best, they don't have the resources to right now to even account for the full extent of it, and going forward, how to deal with it. In some cases, it'll be only in winter when wetlands and swamps freeze, where they could go in and see fully what's happened on the ground. It's a matter now of salvage. So there were about a dozen active Forest Service timber contracts in the works, and those have all been renegotiated and have turned, in some cases, from selective cuts into clear cuts. And even, Keeley, many of the trees that were still standing are considered lost because they're twisted, and if they're leaning more than 10 degrees, the Forest Service will ask if they come down.
And yet, although you're talking about wood that is not usable or sellable, still we have this now glut of wood that could go onto the market, but because we have an oversupply, that's affecting prices, right?
It is. And the market, I'm told, wasn't so great even before the storms came through in July. It was July 19 and 20, Friday night, and then again Saturday morning. So the wood that's been damaged has a very short shelf life, particularly the softwoods. There's not only the twisting damage of the fiber, but there's staining from fungi. So it becomes pulpwood, and that's a much lesser value. But the question you raise of, is there even a market for this? I think most of this wood, and the Forest Service could probably supply some better numbers than they had even 2 weeks ago when I spent some time with them. This wood is just on the ground as fuel now, and so that raises concerns once the leaves come off fully and in the spring before the leaves come back and the ground dries. There's a real increased threat of wildfire and forest fire danger.
Larry Parnas of the Berkshire Eagle in Massachusetts is examining forest health and forest management issues during a 9-month O'Brien Fellowship in Public Service Journalism at Marquette University. And we're talking about recovery from a terrible windstorm earlier this year in northern Wisconsin. You mentioned fire danger. You also mentioned it's going to be 10 years potentially before some of this is back in order. But Larry, temperatures are dropping. We saw southern Wisconsin see its first snowfall. What are the concerns in these areas as winter weather is coming?
Well, they were very much aware of this when I was visiting up in the North Country. The snow load is going to bring down more trees. So, you know, even 3 months after these two big windstorms, there were daily command meetings about how to clear the rights of way on roads, because it's certain that snow is going to bring down more trees. Trees are going to fall across travel lanes. There still could be more people hurt from this storm. It's kind of just laying in wait. And that's something that has been a priority. And so work is going on in all of the counties across the affected area through road crews to get in there and try to clear out the edges of the travel lanes.
Right. So we have a lot of travel lanes that have been cleared, but you're talking about piles of debris just on the side of the road that could, take on snow and ice and then be jostled and pose a danger?
Well, really more the trees that are within the right-of-way, so that if they fell, that they would affect travel. When you drive around up there, it's pretty remarkable. In normal forest and timber harvesting practices, wood is piled and it's priced and all kind of factored into contracts deep within the forest. So the public doesn't really see the transaction. They see lumber trucks on the roads, but they don't see stacks of wood. And because of the storm and because of the fact, at least on the national forest properties, because the Forest Service couldn't get in and really recalculate how to price newly rewritten contracts, they just have allowed, under terms provided under the Farm Bill, they could tell timber companies, just go in and use these GPS coordinates. Consider that your cutting area. Know that trees that are leaning more than 10% can come down and get in there and start salvaging. Hmm. And the work is much slower because of the density of the fallen jackstrawed trees. But they, when they come out, they're piled along the roadsides in decks, they're called, and they do this pricing system called deck scaling. So it's almost as if they're displaying their goods to the whole world, and in an unusual way, the public can see that this wood awaits the market sitting on the side of the road.
Yeah, certainly this story continues. Larry, thanks for your time today.
Oh, my pleasure being with you.
That's Larry Parnas of the Berkshire Eagle. He's covering forest health and management topics as part of a fellowship at Marquette University. And we've been talking about the lasting impacts on forest land in northern Wisconsin after a violent windstorm this summer.